Boker Tov to everyone. L'chol Amazinim. How are you? We look today at Parshas Lech Lecha and the Medrash on Parshas Lech Lecha. So the Torah begins the story of Avraham in the land of Israel in a way that all the Mefarshim comment on, and especially the Midrashim in a voluminous way. Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, number one. God said to Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha umi moladetecha umi beis avicha el ha'aretz asher ar'eko. God says to Avraham, go forth from your land, your birthplace, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Ve'escho l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. Va'avracha, bless you. Va'agad lo shemecha, and I'll make your name great. Ve'hiye bracha, and you'll be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, curse those who curse you, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So what stands out? What point do you think attracted the attention of the commentators more than anything else? The extra word lecha, lech lecha. The Torah could have simply said, Lech, Lech me'artzecha, go from your land. Lech lecha means something else, or means something in addition to that. Lech lecha for your, something for you. Alright? Rashi says here, warning, Leha noscha, for your benefit, the many different commentators. And in fact, this phrase serves as a very meaningful bookend. Bookends to the story of Avraham. Because how is Avraham dispatched to Har Moriah for the Akedat Yitzchak? God tests Avraham and said to him, what's pasuk? V'lech lecho el Eretz Moriah. Right? Kachlas bincha sichidcha sher ahavta es Yitzchak. V'lech lecho el Eretz Moriah. Take Yitzchak and go again for you, Eretz Moriah. Avram's career, so to speak, begins with Lech Lecha and it ends with Lech Lecha. That symmetry is not really our concern now. I want to look at the Midrashim. Yes.
But Rashi also says the Tovus
Chas. For your benefits.
For your benefits.
Correct. Right, but again, so that's the addition, but the everyone discusses it. The question is, what is really being added? Why Lech Lecha? What's something special that's happening now to Avram? Let's look at the Medrash Rabbah number two. It's Parsha Lamatesi Menches. Again, just like last week, our two protagonists, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. And they have different approaches to the psukim, to drash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lech Lecha Shtei Pamim. There's something else about Lecha. It's spelled the exact same way as Lech, as if you could read it Lech Lech. Okay? Go, go, go twice. Shtei Pamim. Avram is told to go twice. Echad me'aram naharayim ve'echad me'aram nachor. Once Avram is sent away from Aram naharayim, Aram, place of his birth, and the second time for Aram nachor, the place where he lived with his family. This, of course, is after the event at Ur-Kasdim when he was sent into the furnace. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Lech Lecha, Shtei Pamim, again, Lech Lech, Echad Maram Naharayim, Maram Nachor, Umeram Nachor. One is he's being sent away from Aram Naharayim and Aram Nachor, that counts as one, meaning leaving his homeland counts as one departure. Ve'echad Shefricho Mibein Abesarim, Ve'heviyo L'charon. And the other time that God flew him, so to speak, from the Brisbane Absarim back to Charon, so he really left twice. One leaving Aram for its Canaan, the second time leaving Canaan for back to Aram, and that's when Lech Lecha happened. How do we know this? Because we date the Brisbane Absarim. Okay, we know Ein Mukdam Umulchar Batorah. There's no chronology, there's no definite chronology in the Torah. I mean, you could find events that are anachronistic in the Torah. So when the Bris HaBavsarim takes place in Perek Tesvav, alright, it's actually pretty straightforward this time, because Chazal date the Bris Bein Absarim to when Avraham was 70 years old. Okay? 70 years old. And you see in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Dalid, Avram and Chamesh Shanim Yishivim Shana Betzazem Haran. Avram was 75 when he left Haran for the last time. So in fact, he had gone first. The Bris Bein Absarim took place in Israel, land of Israel. He went first to the Bris Bein. First he went to Canaan. That's where the covenant was enacted with God. Then God sent him back to Aram, and then he left Haran a second time. Reb Nechemia links the two departures from Aram, from Haran, as one, and he adds something. His departure, Shehifricho Meben Absarim, that God flew him back to commuter flight, it's not a long flight, but flew him back from the area of the Bris Bein Absarim in the land of Israel to Haran. What's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia? Again, Rabbi Yehuda says there's two departures, one from Aram Naharaim, the second from Aram Nachar. Rabbi Nechemia links those together, just one. And the second one is the Bris Bein Absarim, meaning it's going two different ways. One went one way, one is two. One is a departure within Golus, right? One within Golus and the second to Israel. And the second is actually both from Golus and then one from Eretz Yisrael back to Golus. What's the pshat? So we mentioned last week, our whole approach is to try to understand the Medrash along the lines of how the Rambam described it, portrayed Midrashim as conveying ideas. So in fact, when we speak of Lech Lecha, go for yourself, l'tovascha, l'hanascha, there are two different dimensions to that. One is mentioned by Rabbi Yehuda. He left Shtepamim, once Aram Naharaim, once Aram Nachor. What is that? His physical salvation. I mean, he had to constantly flee. So he fled under God's providence, but he fled twice. Left twice. One from Aram Naharaim, where he lived between the Tigris and Euphrates. And the second, Aram Nachor, when his presence was no longer welcome in the land of Nimrod. Rabbi Nechemia adds another dimension to it. Shefricho miben absarim. That there are two departures of Avram. One is his physical departure. But the physical departure means leaving his father's homeland, birthplace, etc. But the second is a spiritual departure, meaning he leaves behind the culture, the values, the religion of his past. That's Hifricho Miben Absarim. When he went to Israel and gained the covenant, entered into the covenant with God, the Bris Bein Absarim, the covenant that guaranteed that his descendants would inherit the land of Israel, and they're the ones who would be slaves in Eretz Lo-Lahem, and they would receive the Torah, etc. The covenants that define our history, to Rabbi Nechemia, that's part of Lech Lecha also, L'tovas Chol Hanas Chol, the spiritual salvation that comes Avram's way. So see the difference between the two, how they understood what was happening here. Now the Medrash continues, interestingly. Hado d'chsiv, Pasuk in Tehillim. Amcha nidavos b'yom chelecha, so the whole Pasuk's number three. Amcha nidavos b'yom chelecha, your people volunteered on the day of your legions, Behadre Kodesh, in the majesty, the sanctity of your majesty, Meirechem Mishchar, from the womb, from the dawn, Lechotal Yaldusecha, to you is the dew of your birth, the dew of youth. Alright, what does that mean? Chazal related that pasuk completely to the life of Avram Avinu, and that's the drasha here. Hado d'chsiv, amcha nidavos b'yom chelecha. That your people volunteer on the day of your legions, not amcha, but imcha, God says to Avram. Imcha ha'yisi be'eshin odavta l'shmi l'reid l'kivshano esh. You were with me. Or I was with you, rather. I was with you, God says. Imcha ha'yisi, I was with you when you volunteered your life to sanctify name, my name in the furnace of the Chaldees. B'yom chelecha, the day of your legions, be'eshe kanasta atali kol ha'chayalos v'chusin, the day that all the legions, all the populations, everyone came out to see your death, to see your execution in the furnace. Behadre kodesh, in the majesty of your sanctity, mehadaro shel olam higdashticho, from the hadar of the world, from the majesty of the world, I sanctify you. Me'erecha mishchar, me'erechamo shel olam, from the womb of the world, meaning the furnace of Nimrod, really the same as the furnace that Nebuchadnezzar built, which he tried to kill Hanan and Mishon Azariah. It's deep in the ground, and it would have filled with material, flammable material, just throw the person in the furnace. So we think of the furnace as, you know, a God forbid, a crematorium. But in fact, it was a big pit, a huge pit, which they would throw the people into the fire and just assume that the bodies would be burnt. So that's Rachamo Shel Olam, the womb of the world, Shechatichali, I liberated you. Lechotal Yaldusecha, to you is the dew of your youth. Lefishahaya Avram Avinu Mispached, Omer, Avram Avinu was frightened, and he said to God, Toma Sheish Biyodi Avon. Maybe you'll say that, you know, my luck will eventually run out, that I have some sin. I was an idolater like everyone else all these years. For you is the dew of youth. Just like dew floats, so too your sins float. They hover. They don't really adhere to you. Just like this dew is a sign of blessing for the world, so too you are a sign of blessing for the world also. So what really is the pshat? What is this drasha altogether? So I think again it emphasizes, Chazal understood it through the Medrash here especially, but even in any event, as underscoring the personality of Avram. Avram had a very unique personality. His history is a glorious one, and therefore we see in each stage, each facet of Avram's life, a tremendous subservience to God, as if he saw his entire, not as if, he indeed saw his entire life, the purpose of his life, as Avodas Hashem. So what's the first? I was with you when you volunteered yourself to my name, to sanctify my name, to allow yourself to be martyred. What characteristic is that? Mesiras Nefesh. Avram was the paragon of Mesiras Nefesh, completely self-effacing before God's will. Is that the story of this Lech Lecha? Absolutely, left everything behind. Is that the story of the second Lech Lecha as well? Lech Lecha El Eretz Moriah? Indeed, complete self-effacement, to the extent that even his beloved son was subject to God's will. B'yom Chaylecha, Be'eshe Kanasta Atali Kala Chayelos Uchlusin. It was because of you that all these peoples, all these legions, these forces, the large population of the time, they all gathered to see what would happen to you. What was Avram then? What's the point here? He's a magnet. That was another aspect of Avram's personality. He was a magnet that drew people to God. Here, of course, it was in sense against his will. We'll see in a moment it was done purposefully. But here, you see Avram in his very first foray, his very first interaction, so to speak, with God, he's perceived as a magnet in order to draw people to God's service. What else characterized him? Bahadre Kodesh. Mehadaro shalom hikdashticha. From the majesty of the world, I sanctified you. What's hadar? Luster. Avraham was radiant. He was luminous. He was exceptional. He just had an appearance that stood out from everyone else, and that's why he was able to attract so many others. Me'erecha mishchar, me'erachmo shel olam shichartichali. I liberated you from the rechem of the world, meaning the furnace, but rechem, of course, is a womb. It means from birth itself, Avram had only one purpose in which he saw his life. Of course, once he came to knowledge of God, and he got to that, for that purpose he was created, Hikdashticha, Shichartichali. He should be freed from me. Avram had one purpose, Das Hashem, to know God and to spread the word of God. And something else as well, Lechotal Yaldusecha, his sins as his youth were non-existent. How is a sin ever wiped away? When we become new people. That's what Tal does. Tal takes grass that would otherwise wither in the heat of the summer and moistens it so it remains verdant and fresh. Avram, in fact, was a new creation. A new creation. That's the Chatal Yaldusecha. In fact, that's we have this in Tchiasa Mesim as well. Tchiasa Mesim takes place through Tal, resurrection. But even more than that, that's why we say Mor HaTal in the summertime instead of Geshem. In the Baruch of Gvuras. But even more than that, you see, Avram is a kinyan of Hashem. I'll just sit here for a second. At the end of Pirkei Avos, that's one of the references that the Mishnah makes. Chamisha kinyanim. God has five acquisitions in his world. Alright? Five acquisitions. Five possessions. Eluhein, Torah, Kinyan Echad, Shomayim Vart, Kinyan Echad, Avram Kinyan Echad, Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash, the other two. Avram as a human being became a Kinyan Hashem, an acquisition of God. How's that possible? What do we do with our possessions? Our possessions serve us, right? You buy radio, you listen, you buy a car, you drive it. That's a Kinyan, it's a possession. Avram as a human being saw himself through his Bechira as just a possession of God, and so Kivyachol God saw him the exact same way, just someone who God would be able to utilize for his purposes. And what a revolution in fact was created. But how in fact was he chosen? He knows the Torah is completely silent on that. The Torah speaks a lot about other things, but it's completely silent about Avram's chosenness. Well, now we get from this particular medrash an insight into Avram's qualities, why such a person would be chosen. But take the next one, number four. Rabbi Berechia, b'shem Rabbi Nechemia, Amar, he analogizes this to the following. L'melech shehaya over mimakom l'makom, king riding about to his entourage, he's on his... they call those chariots to common. He has all right, whatever it is. He's on his chariot. Very good. Venafla margalis me'al rasho, and a pearl fell out of the royal crown, precious jewel. Omar hamelech vehemid familia shaloshom. The king stopped. He realized the pearl was missing. Stops, and then he dispatches his entire retinue to try to find out. Try to discover where the pearl was. Vasat Siborim, they made heaps, gathered the dirt together. Vehevi Machberos, and they brought strainers, okay? A Kvara, modern Hebrew. Vechavar et Arishona, they started to strain the dirt to look for the pool, the pearl. Velo Matzo, the first heap they didn't find. Sheni, lo Matzo, second heap they strained, also didn't find. Bashlishus Mitzah. In the third heap, that's where they found the pearl. Amru, they proclaimed, they exclaimed, Hamelech Margol, Mitzah Hamelech Margol Yoshalo. The king found his pearl. Everybody was happy. What's the Nimshal? Kach Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is what God said. Matzorech Hayali Liyaches. What purpose did I have to relate in the Torah? You remember in last week's Sedra, the week before as well? All these people with whom we feel little kinship, notwithstanding that they are our direct ancestors. Shame, Arpachshad, Shelach, Aver, Peleg, Reu, Srug, Nachor, Terach. 10 generations, Ela Bishvilcha. They're all for you. The pasuk we say in the davening every morning from Nechemiah, Umatzasa es levavo, God found his heart, Avram, Ne'eman lefanecha, faithful before you. Kach amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry, that's what happened here. Yes? Yes. Yes. That's the first heap. That's the first heap, by the way, in the mashal. The Rishkavas Rishona Lo Matzah. Sifted to the first heap, found nothing.
So, did Hashem create Avram differently?
No. He wasn't created differently. That was his greatness.
So, it said he was created for this purpose. It wasn't that Hashem had him to create Avram.
Doesn't seem so. In fact, that's probably one reason why the Torah doesn't mention it explicitly. You know, Avram came to God on his own. Rama makes that clear. It's arguable whether it's at age 3, some say age 40, some say age 48, around there. But Avram, as the Rambam introduced in the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Chochavim, Perek Aleph, that he just started to gaze at the heavens. And he saw the motions of the heavens, and he realized that if it's in motion, it must have a Mesaveb, someone put it in motion. And then he just began to trace. Cause, you know, the effect, the cause, until there's the first cause. Was the first, when he realized the first cause, that's when he concluded as a God. And it was decades before God reached out to him, by the way.
There's no indication of
Hashem, potentially. Not in the Torah. Until Lech Lecha. God speaks to the first Lech Lecha. It's an important point, by the way, you know, substantively. When Avram was thrown into the Kibshan Aish by Nimrod for preaching the existence of one God, a creator, who's more powerful than Nimrod, God had not yet spoken to Avram. He was on his own. On his own, he's willing to risk his life. That was the greatest. Yes, ma'am.
It's interesting because there are people today who grow up with nothing.
Yes.
Nothing.
By the way, sometimes same thing happens. They start searching.
Same thing happens.
That's right.
They see that there is Hashem.
That's correct.
And there are those who, and I met such a person recently, who decides for himself, not only does he see God, but he sees God as the God of the Jews.
Right.
He wants to align himself with the Jews.
That's correct. That's correct. There are people who undergo that same search today. It's not that common, but it does exist. Look, I come across Gerim all the time, and one of the typologies is the seeker, the searcher, all right? Sometimes you have to make sure that his searches end here, because you know, he could do this for a few years, like Yisro, for example, and then just move on. But the seeker is that type of person. And that was Avram. That's why every ger is called Ben Avram. Whatever name he chooses, Ben Avram Avinu. Not just choosing our family as his family. It's because he undertook the exact same process that Avram did. What does it mean? What idea is the Medrash telling us here? That the pearl is found. The first heap, of course, was from the generation of Adam to Noach. Then Noach to Avram. Those were all they were good people then also, but no one who could really carry God's ideas forward for all eternity. We have a couple empty seats. Come on in. No one who would carry God's ideas forward for all eternity until the third heap. You see one thing that's very, very important. Sometimes all of history is worth it, if many generations, even families, in order to produce one person. And this we also find in our world, both historically and today as well. You wonder, why do these Rishoyim exist? Why do these mediocre people exist? Because eventually, it's possible, if not likely, that there'll be one person who emerges from that family who is able to serve God. In fact, Gemara says this about Ruth Samoavio, that we're not allowed to torment Moav, can't eliminate them. Why? Because God says they actually pray to Achaz. Like one precious gem, one special personality that's going to emerge from this immoral crucible of Moav. Bringing with the father through Balak and the whole Chevra down to Eglon, and that's Rus. So it's as if God tolerates, so to speak, generation after generation. In that case, it's more than a millennium, in order that one individual, one perfected individual, should emerge and thereby serve God's purpose. That was Avram. That was Rus. You see, before, if you continue, it's David too. At the end of Megillas Rus, we have the same type of genealogies. Right, they're all fine people, and so find any fault with them. But Matzor Chayalim Liyaches, Peretz, Chatzron, Ram, Aminadov, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Oved, Yishai, David, Lo Bishulcha, it's all for you. Matzosi David Avdi B'Shemen Kachim Mishachtiv. God says, I have found. That's Metziah. David was found, discovered by God. He was the youngest of his siblings. Like Umatzasas Levavo. Avram was found as well. It's a lima for us that sometimes in a family you have one tzaddik, but that tzaddik justifies the existence of the family. He should be the womb in which that tzaddik is raised. You know, we mourn the death of Chacham Avadja this morning, earlier today. In fact, his funeral starts a little late. Yes, it's going on now. It's been a tremendous gone. I was at a wedding last night, and one of my colleagues was just reading a tshuva, Avadja Yosef, like 3-4 pages, and he said to go through the tshuva and to go through the sources would take, you know, a week or 2 weeks. And here he wrote thousands and thousands of them. Thousands and thousands. An encyclopedic mind such that it almost is non-existent. It's not even human by our standards. That just, it was in front of him like an open book that was in his mind. All right? The story, I think, was told by Rav David Karliner, like 4'10", and he had a very small head. And someone said about him that if you would pile up, you know, the Shas and the Rishalmi and the Midrashim and the Svarim of the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, they would tower over him, and it somehow he retains all of it in one mind without even having to look at it. That in our generation was Chacham Avadja, you know, complicated personality, a strong personality, of course. But in terms of godless Torah, you know, God bless us in every generation with gedolim. But just to be able to, you know, recognize such a person for his contributions to Jewish life, it's something. And he grew up in a large family. He had a famous story of Chacham Avadja. I heard it from his brother. That they came from Iraq, his whole family. He came as a child of 4. Father had a grocery store in Yerushalayim. And at age 12, he took a little Avadja out of yeshiva and worked in the store. Had to make support the family. 9 children, 12 children. And he was crying. He would work, he would cry. And then his Rebbe came to the store, asked why he was not coming to yeshiva. And he said, I have to work. And his Rebbe spoke to his father and said, you don't know what a son you have. I mean, he wrote his first commentary at age 9. Before he's in the store, you know, if you make him work in the store, then the Jewish people will lose a gem, a diamond. So his father said to the Rebbe, take him, he's not much of a worker anyway. And in fact, that was his career. By age 17, I think he was a dayan, and then early 20s went to be a dayan in Egypt and came back to Israel. In any event, that's the progression. Matzasas levavo neman lefanecha. You find God found him. When God found him, then he had to be used. How is he being used? Let's look at number 5. Ve'eschol l'goy gadol. I'll make you into a great nation. All right. What's ve'eschol? We have other words we could have used. Ve'asimcha l'goy gadol. I'll place you. What's ve'eschol? Ve'eschol means I'll make you. It's like a new creation. Something new. Let's look on. Omar lo, uminoach lo hemanat hashivim umos, as if Avram responded to God. What do you mean a goy gadol, a great nation? And from Noach you didn't establish 70 nations, so the nations of the world? Omar lo, osa uma shekosuv ba, ki mi goy gadol, animami bimeko. No, those are nations. The world has nations, but the nation of which the Torah will say, "Ki mi goy gadol, ashelo elokim krovim elov." Who is like the nation, the great nation, to whom God is very close? That's the nation, meaning a special nation. What's a goy gadol? It's an eternal people. That's what it is. Great, we have to define. Great doesn't just mean large or wealthy or intelligent. Great means eternal. It means special. It means a nation that will always be here. The other nations of the world, they can exist, they can't exist. That's, you know, God's will. It's history. What happens to them? They come and go. But Klal Yisrael, that's the difference. The others are defined as umos, not umos gedolos. They're not going gedolim. The Gai Gadol means we will always exist. Omer Rabbi Berechia, Etencho v'asimcho ein ksiv kan. It doesn't say, Etencho l'Gai Gadol, I'll give you to be a great nation. Asimcho, place you as a great nation. Elo v'escho, mishani ose oscho, briochad osho, at porever aver. From the moment I make you into a new creature, a new creation, then you'll start having children. You have to first be a new creation. When did Avram become a new creation, by the way? He got his new name, Avraham. Now listen to this. Rabbi Levi Bar Chivyas, Rabbi Abba Breder of Chia Bar Abba, Omru. In the Pasuk, if you go back to number one, it says Gadol three times. Goy Gadol, Agadlo, Escha also means great. Three greats. And in these Psukim, it says Vavarcha, Vayebracha, Vavarcha, Vinivrachu, four times. Shalosha Gedulos, Vearba Brachos, three times greatness, four times blessing, Ksivkan. Bisero, Avram was informed, Shehen Shalosh Avos Varba Imahos. There are three fathers, three patriarchs, and four matriarchs. Okay. What does that mean? So you see, by the Gedula comes from the Avos, Bracha comes from the Imahos. Greatness comes from the fathers. Blessing comes from the mothers. So Gadol means here we're an eternal people. You know, we take it for granted because we're here. But the fact is, there are people in the world who have always looked at us not as an eternal people, but as an ever-dying people. It always looks like we're about to disappear, usually because someone's trying to kill us. Sometimes we're trying to kill ourselves, but we always look like we're in decline. The exact opposite. The truth is, most of the time we're flourishing. Like now, with all the problems, we, as a people, as a nation, no one is saying anymore, Kali Yisrael is going to disappear, notwithstanding the designs of our enemies. That's a Goy Gadol. What's Gedula? You see, Gedula comes from the Avos. Gedula is destiny. As a people of destiny, that comes from the Avos, and we exist. Bracha comes from the Imahos. What's Bracha? Character. It's not enough to exist. You have to exist for a reason. You have to evince certain characteristics, certain traits in morality, in decency, etc. Those kind of, not the others didn't have them, but not the Amos were not representative of Jewish destiny either. But each one has their own, you know, tafkid. Destiny comes from the Avos. But Bracha, the character of the Jewish people, Shma b'ni Musar Avicha, Baltitash Torah Simecha, the Torah is what we imbibe, the feeling, the enthusiasm, the attitudes, the midos, those come from the Imahos. This is what the Medrash says, you see from the Psukim, it was meant to be a partnership, a combination between Avos and Imahos that would guide this people to our destiny. And finally, just in these Psukim, the Nivrchu V'cha, Komish V'chos Adama, through you, all the nations of the world, all the families will be blessed. What does that mean? Hagishamim bischuscha. In your merit, the rains fall. Hatlalim bischuscha. In your merit, there's dew on the ground. But that's how it's going to rain. It's because of us. And don't think they won't let us forget that. If it rains, because of us. But rain is a good thing. Kishmei bracha. What happens in the world is because of us. The blessing that comes to the world, if it comes to the world, you know, we're the pipeline. Because I'll say this elsewhere. The pipeline for bracha to the world flows through where? Yerushalayim. Flows through Yerushalayim. And that's the famous statement Chazal that Ilmala, if only the nations of the world knew how the Beis HaMikdash benefited them, rather than send legions to destroy it, they would send legions to protect it. It's because through the Beis HaMikdash, bracha comes to the entire world, through us. I spoke Shabbos about the Jews, alright? So this week is always very amusing to me. You know, it's Nobel Prize week this week. And you'll get to count how many Jews win. Right, it's such a small population, maybe 10, 11 million in the world, a world of over 7 billion. So I think two of the three winners today of the Nobel Prize in Medicine are Jews. All right? It just, you know, then we get to play that game also. But that's v'nivrchu v'cha, kol mishchaz adamah. Tomorrow's chemistry, looking good. All right? Peace Prize, not as good. Who knows? What's that?
Better than the Giants.
Better than the Giants, right, right. Economics, we always stand a better than even chance. Okay. Hadav d'chsev. So what's this bracha? Vayivada hadav. And by the way, the Medrash is so interesting because the Medrash brings together all the chazal. They also had encyclopedic minds. You know, before the Bar Ilan CD, they had the entire Tanakh in their heads. The old Torah Shabbat in their heads. So they saw a remez here to what's happening in this pasuk. Vayivada hadavar lemordechai vayageila Esther amalka. What's the story? The story of Big Son and Sarash. The Mordechai overheard, they're plotting against the king, and Mordechai decided to tell Esther, who told the king, and that later became one of the catalysts for salvation. So the Medrash asks, Zemahul v'ze'orel v'chasolov. They hear Mordechai is a Jew, he's a circumcised. He's going to say, as pity on this uncircumcised Achashverosh, Atmoha, it's astonishing. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Mizakeinim esbonon, I gain wisdom from your elders, Kifikudecha natsarti, because they cherish or they guard over Fikudecha, your mandates, your orders. Who the Zakeinim? The great ones of Kal Yisrael. Omar, Yaakov Beirach esparo, Yaakov bless Paro. Shenemar vayvarach Yaakov es Paro. Yosef gilolo. Yosef revealed to Paro what he needed to know. Daniel gilol Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel revealed to Nebuchadnezzar what he needed to know. Afani chein vayageiles teramalka. Mordechai did the same thing. If Yaakov and Yosef and Daniel could have counseled the king, so Yaakov could give him brachos also. That's Rabbi Yehuda. We'll have to think what he means. Rabbi Nechemya Amar. Rabbi Nechemya said, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Avraham Avinu. God said to Avraham, V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama u'v'zarecha. V'zarecha was said to Yaakov later on, but applied to Avraham as well. In Tamar, Dilehevi Atirin, if you'll tell me what it means, this bracha, is that we'll be wealthy. So, I mean, they're wealthy also. We're not only Jews are wealthy, there are a lot of wealthy non-Jews in the world too. Harayatirin inuminah, they're even wealthier than us sometimes. So what's the point? Elolish elah, it means for to ask counsel. Kishahem nichnasim litzara, when they get themselves into trouble. Heim nishalim lanu v'anu migalim lahem, they ask us and we reveal to them what has to be done. At some level it seems very similar to Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya says that Mizakeinim es bonon, kifigudecha natsarti, Yaakov blessed Paro, and Yosef revealed what he needed to know, and Daniel as well. And Nechemya says, they'll ask us, we'll tell. Alright? And you can't even say the difference is that, in the second, Rabbi Nechemya says, they ask and we tell, because the first thing also, Yosef was asked. He was brought out of prison. Daniel was asked. He was the counsel to Nebuchadnezzar. What's the bracha here? The bracha is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, God's will is realized through the Jewish advisors to these kings. That's Yosef, who amashbir. That's Daniel, the way he was able to save Kal Yisrael at that time from the Tzaros. And that's really Yaakov, because Mitzrayim was a refuge for the Jewish people as well. So God's will is realized through the Jewish people interacting with the nations of the world. Lev melachim esarim b'yad Hashem. The hearts of, the minds of kings and officers, it's in God's hands. But God utilizes Jews, always placed in very meaningful positions of counsel in order to effect his will. According to Nechemya, they access our wisdom and counsel. It's not just that God's will is to be effected. That happens. But the essence of the bracha is that the nations of the world know on some level we are a resource for them. They don't realize it often enough. How we resource in terms of knowledge. Knowledge in terms of morality, in terms of political affairs, in terms of governance, alright? You know, it's always one of the ironies of the Jewish life that in Europe, for centuries already, even in America, Jews are counselors and advisors to kings. We yet get all Jews in one country that can't run their own government. right? Like the Italians are good in a street fight, put them in an army, they're no good. It's the same thing. They come to us, they access our counsel, it's natural. It's not supernatural. It's natural because we are the repository of bracha. The way that they're able to acquire bracha in their nations is to reach out to the Jewish people. And whenever they've done that, they've been successful. And when they fail to do that, they've been unsuccessful. And when they persecuted us, there's always one historical corollary. The nation that persecutes the Jews, they have a good run, and then they disappear. They disappear. They have their way with us for a time. We survive, they don't survive. That is the bottom line. I mentioned a couple of years ago in Shul this article that this fellow, a Spanish journalist, Sebastian Rodriguez, wrote years ago, I think around the early 2000s, when Europe was exploding because of Muslim terror. And he said that we got what we deserved. We killed our Jews, and in their place we got Muslims. We got what we deserved. And that's what he said. Europe died in Auschwitz. That was the title of his column. Not just the Jews. Europe died. We destroyed our culture and civilization. We killed off our Jews. And Spain, of course, is neutral during the war, but nonetheless, that's how we saw it. Okay. If you go on in the Torah, number 7 now, Avram starts to preach. Take me Shama Hara. He leaves. He came first to Elon Marah. Has a little south, Mikedem Beitel, east of Beitel, Vayetol Beitel, Miyam Vay Mikedem. He uproots his tent. Beitel's to the west, I to the east. Vayim Shem Mizbech Hashem, builds a Mizbech to God. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, calls out in God's name. What's calling in God's name? So Medrash says in number 8. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, Milamet Shehikri Shmo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Fiko Briya. It means that Avram called out God's name to everyone who's listening. He just called out God's name, like Hyde Park, stood on a soapbox and preached to all listeners. Davar Acher, Vayikra, Hishil Megayer Gerim, Ulachnisam Tachas Kanfe Ashchina. He started to convert people and to bring them underneath the wings of the Shechina. What's the difference in the two? That you need a Davar Acher? They're really two different models here. Of Kirov, in a sense. One is that he spread the ideas, but he was passive, meaning Hikri Shmo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He built a Mizbech, attracted attention, called on God's name, but people had to respond. It was more passive. The second one, Hischel Megar Geirim, that's active. That means he went out to recruit, to find souls. And those are two different models. There, you know, the Kirov professionals, that's Model 2, Megar Geirim, Lachnisam Tachas Kanfei Shechina. Because in my context, I don't mean Geirim, but I mean Jews who are alienated or ignorant of their faith. We reach out, try to grab them. But the first one is different. The first one is Hikri Shmo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? It means just the way we live our lives. If people look at us and they see godliness, they see divinity, they see holiness, they're drawn to that life. It exists. Not as much as it should, but it does exist. And I find this with Gerim as well. What do they like about the Jewish people? Oddly enough, sometimes they find Jews that are nice people. And they say, I want to be like that. I want to have a family life like that. I want to be in a community like that. It's amazing how we take for granted our sense of community. I don't just mean in Teaneck, but generally, in the rest of the country, it's not really like that. You know, you have neighborhoods or block associations, etc. But even a church, for example, can be made up of people from such disparate areas and backgrounds. They don't have to live in the same place. We all live in the same place. We had this thing for the Republicans the other night, and someone, one of the people who came, non-Jew, said to me, where do you live? I said, I live across the street. He said, yeah, interesting. What pastor lives across the street from the church? I said, sometimes they live in the church. I said, no, you have to understand, the Orthodox, we all live in the same community. Because nobody drives on Shabbos, we all have to live in the same general geographical location. He said, oh, that's really interesting. And the way he understood, that's how community is built. You all live together. You all interact. That's what builds a sense of cohesiveness. If you have that, and then you represent an ideal of living in terms of integrity, in terms of etiquette, in terms of civility, and people see that, And they say, Mi goy gadol, asher lo lim krovim elov. And the nations desire us. That's the first model. Hikri shem Hashem, b'fichol b'riya. B'riya. It's not that we're standing and preaching. You can subtly preach to others by means of living a good and valued life. Those are the two models. Let's turn to the next one. This is something we've discussed in the past, but I happen to love the concept, so I share it here. This is from Medrash Tehillim, not from Medrash Rabbah, number 9. Avrechas Hashem Asher Yatzani, it's Tehillim Tezayim. So, Reb Shmuel Bar Nachum Potra Bavram, he explained that pasuk as relating to Avram Avinu, alright? Avrechas Hashem Asher Yatzani, I'll bless God who counseled me. How did Avram come to know anything? Well, we'll see later on that Avram observed the Torah, right? It says in Vayera, Leman Asher Yitzav is Banav is Bezachov, Veshomu Derech Hashem. How did Avram know the Derech Hashem? How did Avram know to observe God's ways? Av lo limado, he had no father to teach him. Rav lo limado, he had no Rebbe to teach him. Umi limado, who taught Avram? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God taught him. How did God teach him? Melamed the Tanav Shimon Yochai. Melamed Shazimein La HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shtei Kloyos. God gave Avram two kidneys. Kidneys are very valuable organs. V'hayunovos Chachma V'da'as. And they would stream, it would flow, wisdom and knowledge. You should know this. It's true. Shebeshosha Nigla Lava HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bein Absarim. Herol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Arba Dvarim. At the Brisbane Absarim, God revealed to Avram four things. Torah, Karbonos, Gehenom, Arba Malchios. Okay. You all know the ancient world, and you find this in the Tanakh as well, the kidneys were held to be a source of wisdom. Ever hear that? Okay. What is that all about? How could they have thought that? I endeavor to say the Chazal never thought that there's any knowledge in the kidneys. They knew the difference between kloyos and moach, between the kidneys and the brain. The Gemara says, Shtei kloyos yesh bo ba'adams, brachos daf samach alfa, but alfa maten, man has two kidneys, achas yo'atzo letovo, achas yo'atzo lera. One advises him for good, one for bad. What's the pshat? It's a beautiful idea. And you see exactly what the Ram was saying last week about how these things that sound fanciful contain such brilliant concepts. What's the pshat? What are kidneys? Kidneys are filters, exactly. They filter the impurities from the blood. What does the mind do? What's the thinking Jew do? You look at the world, and we have to be able to filter in what's good and to filter out what's bad. That's what Avram did. God gave him two kidneys for Yanovos Chachma Vadas. He knew there's so much stimuli in the world. There's so many different facts and activities and endeavors and values out there. We have to know what's acceptable, what's unacceptable. To do that, it's not to have a brain. A brain can just embrace everything. You need a brain with a filter. The filter of the brain, they call you euphemistically the kidneys, because the kidneys perform that function for the body as well. Avram had this because Avram, or God gave Avram this because God gave this to Avram, this capacity to be able to look at society and say, this is bad, I don't want it, I'll keep it out. This is good, I should assimilate it. There are four areas in which we need filters. Those are what God showed Avram at the Bris Ben Absarim. First is Torah. What's Torah? Values. That's the essence. You need value, you need a filter to know what's right, what's wrong. Yes. A filter, correct. So that's the word. They should have said, put a kidney on it. We need a filter. Torah, values. What else? Karbanos, Avodas Hashem. You need a filter in that also. Why? Because it tells people at a certain point to stop. That's no longer service of God. That's service of self. I'm not following the Torah. I'm following what I want to do. I'm fine with what everyone else is doing in the world. Not everything a person does in service of God is actually service of God. It has to come from God. That's karbanos. Three, gehenom, schar v'onesh. Get absolutely wild ideas of what's to be rewarded, what's to be punished, what's the nature of reward and punishment. It has to come from God also. And finally, the arba malchios, the way God runs the world. You have to filter it also. Sometimes the world looks very haphazard, very ill-governed. God governs the world also, of course man is Bechira, but nonetheless the way God governs the world, look at all the phenomena going on, all the craziness in the world today, there's a Yad Hashem who's masterminding things. To understand that, you have to filter out distractions and focus on essences. Yes? Everyone has kidneys, but if everyone today in the world has kidneys, to be able, what's that? Well, he had a special capacity, right? In other words, he could not have been able to come to Torah on his own unless he had the ability to. And that's what we mean, by the way, when it says V'shomer Derech Hashem. It's not that God taught him the Torah. Well, not the beginning, but it means once he was chosen, then he had to have the capacity to be able to reason out, which is what he did, to reason out the most moral way to live in line with God's will. Not before he was born. That's correct. Okay. Running out of time. So let's look at number 11. Achar ha-dvarim ha'ila. So now it's the after the bris bein ha-psarim. Hayad dvar Hashem el Avram ha-machazeh. God appeared to Avram in a vision. Lemor saying to him, Al tira Avram, don't be afraid. It was after the war with the kings. This introduces the bris bein ha-psarim. Don't be afraid. Anochi magen loch. I will be a shield to you. Schorcha harbe ma'od. Your reward is very great. What was he afraid of? There's a number of answers that the Mefarshim give. They would come after him again, or that he would have a son, he would die without a child, etc. That's when the bris happened. Medrash, Parsha Memdal, Tzimun Aleph, number 12. Achar hadvar ma'ele, hayad dvar Hashem el Avram ha-machazeh le'mor. And now the Medrash continues, quoting a pasuk in Tehillim. Hakel tamim darko, God, his ways are perfect. Imrasa Hashem tzrufo, God's utterances, his promises are refined, are unblemished. Magain hu l'chol achosim bo, he's a shield to all those who take refuge in him. Im drachov tmimim, if his ways are perfect, tamim darko, hu alachas kama v'kama, so certainly he himself is perfect. Rav Amar, Rav explains as follows, lo nitnu hamitzos elo litzarech b'enes abrios, the mitzvos were given to us only to refine us, to refine creatures. Alright, this is a very famous methodological explanation of mitzvos. Why were we given mitzvos? To refine us, refine our conduct, and refine our midos. V'chimaych patle l'kadosh baruch hu. Why would God care? L'misha shochet min ha-savar, misha shochet min ha-orev. Why would it concern the creator of all whether an animal has to be slaughtered from the neck, from the front, or from the orev, from the back? What's the difference, really? Lo nitnu hamitzos elo litzorif bahenes abrios. The mitzvos are only given to us to refine us. It doesn't matter to God. It matters to us. Because if we have limits, if we have parameters with a sense of right and wrong, then we're able to guide ourselves properly. What's the pshat in lo nitnu hamitzos elo litzorif bahenes abrios? To me, I think this is a real crisis in modern Orthodoxy today. There's no real sense of hachna anymore. It's in the leftist fringe, which may have fringed out already. There's no sense of surrender to God in mitzvahs. There's a sense that we have to submit to God's will, but whatever we want to do, we just find a way to do it. In that, there's no avodas Hashem, there's no kabbalas al malchus shemayim, there's no kabbalas al mitzvos, there's nothing. It becomes a game, as if I'll find a way, I'll be shochet ben atzavar, but a different way, I'll do whatever I want to do and find a way to do it. There's no sense of a trifa, of refinement in that, of rectification, of correction, of perfection. It doesn't exist at all. To refine us means to develop midos, to instill humility in the human being, and ultimately to become an Eved Hashem. The extent that a person, a Jew, does not even endeavor or attempt to become an Eved Hashem by at a certain point saying, and this is the reality that we have to live with every single day, at a certain point saying, I want to do this, but I can't because God said no. Not that God said no, but I'll find a way to do it. At that point, that's the difference between an Eved Hashem and an Eved Atzma. the person worshiping himself, thinking he's doing it on the color of religion, he's in a delusional mode and just ruins his life or her life and families and children, communities also. Because the Torah begins to be a non-Torah, doesn't exist anymore. Torah is a way of teaching, it's the way God teaches us. When we leave that framework, we're no longer benefiting from the refinement of Torah. Add to this one other point, Davar Acher, Kel Tamim Darko Ze Avram. God, perfect in His ways, that's Avram. Matzas of the one Nemel of Anecha. Imrath Hashem Tzrufa, Shet Tzrufa Kadosh Baruch Hu Bechiv Shano Eish. That God refined Avram in the furnace like silver is refined of its dross through contact with fire. What's the pshat? What has it to add to the previous point? The refinement takes place in mitzvos. Better to be refined voluntarily than be defined coercively, meaning to have the nations of the world come and say, you don't want to do it, we won't let you do it. All right. Or worse, we'll martyr you, if you will murder you if you do it. That's also part of our history. That type of mentality, that type of approach is averted when we willingly see the Torah as coming with Tzarf ben Asabrios and we accept it on our own. Yes.
That's why her generation has such a difficult task.
Yes, it's a difficult task on generation. What is specific?
We live in comfort.
Right.
We are not threatened.
Right.
Not yet.
Right.
Here.
I could be threatening at times, though.
Yes, you. But you're young.
Generally not.
So we have to work on ourselves.
That's correct.
And that's really hard.
Very hard. You're absolutely correct. It's the Gemara Megillah. Gemara Megillah says that when Achashverosh took off his signet ring to give it to Haman, it did more, I think it's Zayin of an Aleph, it did more, Yudal an Aleph, somewhere in that range, it did more for Tshuva than all the words combined of 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os. When he just took off his ring, gave it to Haman, that act that instigated the persecution of the Jews then, that's what caused Jews to come around. That's the second point. God was, if we want to be in a situation where God's going to refine us to Kivshan Ha'esh, so that'll be our fate. But that's our fate. It's much better to see the mitzvos themselves as that which brings us refinement. But you're correct. In an era of comfort and luxury, it's very difficult to embrace that. We don't live with the fear, or maybe this is the point, we don't live with the fear of persecution that other generations had, and especially, like I mentioned this past Shabbos, in a free society, Yadis has really never flourished in a free society. It's sad to say, and we've had them. We had them in Bubble for a time, in Spain for a time, even in Europe for a time, the 19th century. And in America, of course. In a free society, Jews utilize the freedom, not all of us, many, sometimes most, to abandon Torah. And that's a real danger. That's a real danger. That's the second point. The first point is, like you say, we have the ability to do it unilaterally, of our own volition, to become Avdei Hashem. Better to become an Eved Hashem of our own volition than to die an Eved Hashem, because the nations of the world began to attack us. Magen hu l'chol achosim bo, al tir Avram anachim magen loch. In the end, Avram, with all his trials, with all the vicissitudes of his life, Avram is the faithful Eved Hashem, and so anachim magen loch. God becomes Avram's shield. By extension, God becomes our shield as well. Where do we see this? That's the pasuk, ends the first bracha in Shemoneh Esrei. Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen Avraham. The God who is the shield of Avraham, he's the God who is the shield of the Jewish people as well. Okay, I thank you very much. You can read the next one on your own. Thank you. Next week, there's no shear.